One story, two sides. Context equals understanding. Where do you land?
This morning we're looking at two sides of plastic bottles and whether they should stay or go. We've just heard from Greenpeace plastics campaigner Jeressa Lee. Now we're going to hear from the chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative with a background in freshwater policy, Dr. Eric Crampton. Morena, Eric, thank you for being with us. This is common sense, right, what Jeressa is saying. Plastics are clearly harming our environment, especially our oceans. Ban them.
Well, sure. There are some global problems in plastics flowing out from some large rivers, predominantly in Asia, into the oceans. It's not so much a New Zealand problem, though. New Zealand is pretty small and Kiwis are pretty tidy. So I'll agree with Greenpeace that not that much of the plastic that's used in bottles winds up being recycled, but most of it winds up in landfills. And landfills do work. They keep the waste in. Plastic that winds up there gets stored. It's safe. We're not going to run out of land for landfill. There's another spot where I would agree with Greenpeace, though. If you think just through introspection, when do you buy a bottle of anything, right? Or a plastic bottle, it's usually, at least for our family, we're out for a walk. We haven't bothered bringing a refillable bottle this time because it's a hassle for one reason or another, and you're thirsty. So access to, if councils were worried about this, they could put in more drinking fountains around the place. They could make it easier for people to find a glass of water if they wanted one. Drinking fountains are pretty good. There aren't that many of them around town. But if littering is the real problem, and that's how plastic winds up in ocean, why aren't councils looking at this more? So the last study I'd seen on this, well, it was some investigative journalism by Stuff, and they were doing a look around the Wellington area. And they found that while Upper Hutt was doing a fair bit of work in policing littering and issuing fines, Lower Hutt, Porirua, and Wellington City weren't doing very much at all. So if we have a giant problem around littering, I don't think we do, but if we did, wouldn't the first step be to actually enforce littering bylaws,
maybe
issue some fines?
Or wouldn't the first step be get rid of the plastic bottles and then councils are kind of forced to act? A, you take away the littering problem. Councils are forced to act because people are like, I'm thirsty. Where is my drink fountain? And the councils will then put them in place. So isn't this a way of forcing change?
Well, there's a lot of things that you'd expect would force councils to do things, like a giant housing shortage, and they haven't managed to sort that out yet, so I wouldn't be too optimistic.
And after the foreign water bottling tax disappeared, the previous government's coalition promise, are we allowing these big overseas companies to drain our water supplies and pay bugger all for the privilege? Could this help curb that?
Well, really, this is part of a broader issue around pricing on water and water abstraction. So a few years ago, I'd had sort of a first think on this. We don't really charge for water abstraction. We have a water consenting system. So if you are drawing water for irrigation or for town water supply or for a water bottling plant, you need to get a consent from council. But some of the aquifers are under severe pressure. They're over allocated. And there aren't really ways of pricing this properly. So water is seriously underpriced. Now, I wonder whether plastic water bottles might be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. So we're currently running thousands of liters of water through cows who produce urine. We suck the water out of the milk and we dispose of that wastewater. And then we package up the powdered milk and ship that overseas. Could we cut out the middle cow? If there's just demand for the water, we could take the water, put it in the bottles, ship the water overseas and have less pollution in the rivers. So we don't really know which makes more sense because we don't have a proper price on water, which would help us to discover that.
And that is a very complex hornet's nest, which we may not get into this morning. Big Cola is never going to do this on its own, Eric, banning water bottles or phasing out our plastic bottles, rather. We need the government to step in, don't we? Particularly, as you say, councils they sit on their hands a bit when it comes to this stuff. So doesn't the government need to step in and phase out water bottles with the rest of single-use plastics?
It depends what you think the problem is, right? If a plastic bottle that sits at the bottom of a landfill, like any other piece of rubbish at the bottom of a landfill, it particularly concerns you, then there's a lot of things, I suppose, that we could ban, but it would make life a lot worse and a lot more inconvenient, a lot more hassle. Make sure that the landfills are priced properly. Make sure that councils do a decent job in having rubbish tins up to help avoid litter and actually policing litter. Ensure that encourage council to put up more drinking fountains for those who are thirsty. But what harm is done if somebody buys a bottle of Coke or a bottle of anything, drinks it, and puts it in the rubbish bin. It winds up in a landfill. It's safe there. We're not going to run out of space for landfill for tens of thousands of years at worst. And we have excellent waste-to-energy solutions.
Tell that to the countries our rubbish to.
Yes.
Eric, we do have to leave it there, but I'm very grateful for your time and your insights this morning. That is Dr. Eric Crampton, who is Chief Economist with the New Zealand Initiative. Let us know your thoughts on that debate. Should we ban single-use plastic bottles, phase them out with the rest of the single-use plastics, which we're phasing out by 2025. It's now 25 minutes to 8.